Great Spirit, Savior, Redeemer, we just want you. We come into your presence, offering these gifts before you, praying for your power and your love to be at work. With every action we take, every moment that we serve, every dollar that we give, we pray, God, that you, with your great power, would compound all of these gifts for the sake of your kingdom. And we pray, God, that your kingdom would be built on earth, that truly this world would be transformed through the power of Jesus Christ. We pray for that transformation to start with each and every one of us. And I pray for any here today who are struggling, who are searching, any who are fighting addictions or depression, any here who are just feeling lost or exhausted. We pray, God, for your power and strength to be at work, that you would work in those who are struggling with health problems. And especially we lift up Bill Boyer and any others who are in the hospital, praying for your great power to be around them, that your great healing would be at work. We pray for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We lift up the Coiner family mourning the loss of Bishop Coiner. We lift up the Carter family mourning the loss of Jeff Carter. And we lift up the Gene Cox family mourning Gene's absence from this world as well. We pray that in your great love, that our sorrow might be turned to rejoicing, that we might find a peace that passes all understanding through your presence with us. We pray that in all of these things, God, that you would continue to lead us in the ways that we can become more fully your people. We put all this in your hands. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Throughout the past few weeks, we have been tackling the book of James. And this is a good one. So if you're new to this series, we've been over the past, this is our third week, looking at different parts of that book of James. And actually, this is such an easy read. Well, a quick read, I'll put it that. It's a very small book. So you could honestly, you could sit down and read the whole thing in one sitting. You could do it every week to remind yourself of what we're talking about if you wanted. But here in worship, we're just tackling it little bit by little bit. And so the very first week, we looked at James chapter 1 and heard that reminder that we have a good God that brings all good and beautiful things into this world. All of those good and beautiful things are from our beautiful God. Then last week, we looked at the second chapter, first part of the second chapter of James, which reminds us not to play favorites, to love others as we would love ourselves or our people, which is challenging. But that second chapter goes on to what we have today. And actually, our passage today is considered probably one of the hallmark passages of James. If you hear people talk about James, they probably quote this. This is one of those passages where it talks about faith without works being dead. A lot of this passage we'll look at today looks at what is faith? What does it mean to believe in something? And there's this idea that faith is not just believing. I think there's a clip that demonstrates this well. I don't know if any of you all seen the movie Divergent or read the books? Oh my gosh, Jim in the back. You can ask him about it after church today. if you haven't seen it, it's okay. So it's a movie set in the future that looks at the a what if, a dystopian future. And in the movie and the book, kids are separated out into factions or groups based on one characteristic that they might have a lot of. And so when they get old enough, they get to pick what faction they want to be part of. And every faction has a different thing. But Dauntless is the faction that they're kind of like the daredevils, but they're also the soldiers. They're the ones who do all the hard stuff, right, for the compound where they live. So this young woman, Triss, decides that she wants to join Dauntless. And in order to be initiated into this faction, the leader takes all of them up to the top of a really tall building. And actually, this is set in Chicago, like way in the future. So imagine one of those Chicago skyscrapers, right? They go to the top of one of these buildings, and they look down over the edge, and there's another building, like right next to it, that's a little bit smaller. And in the roof of that building, there's a big gaping hole that's been kind of busted out. And you can't see the bottom because it's just too dark. And the leader says, all right, if you want to be in Dauntless, you need to jump off the roof into this hole. And he says, you know, there'll be something there, probably, to catch you. It's one thing to believe there's something at the bottom, right? Probably, I mean, it makes sense. They're not going to make everybody kill themselves before they get into Dauntless. It's another thing to jump off the roof. And so I'm going to show a clip. This is Triss, the first jumper, taking that leap of faith.
Today, initiate. Did you get pushed?
No.
What's your name?
It's...
Is that a hard one? You can pick a new one if you want, but make it good. You don't get to pick again.
Okay. My name's Triss.
First jumper, Triss! Welcome to Dauntless.
So in order to enter into this new family in this new world, she had to take a leap of faith, literally. And I think that's a good description of sometimes how our walk with God, our faith, also goes. Sometimes in order to really, really dive in and deepen our faith, we have to take sacrificial steps. We have to be willing to leap into those deep waters of faith and follow where God calls us. Not always easy, but that is the way to that new life in Jesus Christ, is by diving in. And sometimes that feels a little uncomfortable. But we hear that in James chapter 2, verse 18 through 20, where it says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith.'" And so there's this idea that our faith is more than just believing, that if you really believe in God, then it will lead naturally to acting, to doing things. And some of that might be digging in deep, stepping out on the waters, doing the hard things that God calls us to do. Now, to be clear, this does not say that we are saved by what we do. So God isn't sitting up in heaven with a big list checking off, okay, well, that's pretty good. Oh, no, well, they've got more things on their list here. No matter what we do, nothing we do will get us into heaven. But when God's grace and love is at work in our lives, naturally we are transformed. And as we are transformed, that leads to us being instruments of God's peace and love in the world. We act differently when we have God in our lives. Jesus actually said it, I think, best in John chapter 13, verse 35, when Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so even Jesus is saying, faith isn't just believing. People will know that you have faith. They will know that you are mine by the way that you love one another. Faith and works are interconnected together. And so there's this question then of what is faith really? And how do we dig in deeper? How do we deepen our faith with God? Back in the 1700s, John Wesley actually wrote a sermon that is still fantastic today. A little old English, but he talks about faith. And so John Wesley was one of our early founders of the Methodist movement. And he starts by defining faith by what it isn't. So he goes through three things that he says, you know, this is good, but that isn't transformational faith, like what we're talking about here in James. So he starts by talking about basic faith. So everyone starts out with like a little bit of faith. And that might be even not knowing God, not knowing Jesus. You feel like something's out there. There's got to be something bigger than me, something that created this world. And I don't know what that is or what that looks like. But that basic little tiny seed of faith is where most of us begin. Then we might come to know God or know of God. You hear about Jesus, you hear about God, and then you think, maybe I think God exists, right? And so John Wesley actually says, quoting from Luke chapter 4, verse 34, that even the demons know Jesus, right? There's some kind of knowledge that even demons have, where the demon who saw Jesus in Luke 4 said, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Or in James chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So it's good, you know, but that's not quite enough. That's not transformational faith. And so you could have the faith maybe of a disciple. John Wesley talks about those early followers who left everything. They met Jesus and they experienced Jesus as a good teacher, as someone who was loving, who did amazing things. And knowing Jesus, they left everything to follow where God was leading. They did something. And through that action, God did amazing things. However, they did not yet know that grace and love of the resurrected Christ. And so the fourth step, the step of transformational faith, that fourth level that John Wesley talks about, has all of the other things. You know something is there. You know it might be God. It's God and it's Jesus. You know of those things. You're willing to follow. You come to worship. You serve where you can. But that I should do something is transformed into I want to do something. God works within us to transform us little bit by little bit so that we're not the same. I love looking. You can actually see this in the Bible, that transformation, and it's amazing when that happens. In the chapter of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells the story of disciples who were following Jesus. They left everything. And the whole time, these disciples are, like, kind of bumbling. They ask stupid questions. They don't do the right thing. And Peter, in particular, even when Jesus is sacrificing his very life, Peter denies Jesus three times because he's so scared that they might arrest him as well. Then we move into Acts. And the Acts of the Apostles is written probably by the same person who wrote Luke. And in Acts, we have, after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes into this early group of believers. And these are like not the same people. You can't recognize them. Peter, who'd been trepidatious about just stepping out on the water, who had denied Jesus three times, starts Acts by giving this huge sermon in a public place, this bold, evangelizing, good news sermon about Jesus Christ. And he's arrested multiple times as a result. And you think, could this still be Peter? It is. That's what transformational faith does. We start by stepping out, leaping off the building. But God works in us bit by bit, so somehow, somewhere, we're different. We're not quite the same as we were before. That's the power of God's work, God's grace at work in us. Jesus uses an image that I love. He talks about having the faith the size of a mustard seed. And he says in Matthew chapter 13 and 15, actually, or 17, but in Matthew 13, he says that if you have faith the size of a little tiny mustard seed, you'll be able to tell the mountain to move and it'll move. When I hear that, I think about moving mountains this week. I have to confess, what came to mind was Minecraft. I don't know if you all are familiar with Minecraft, but it's a video game that my kids love to play, where you literally move mountains. You have mountains, you block by block, move and redevelop the landscape using your imagination to build whatever you want. And you get tools to do that, and you upgrade your tools, right? So that's a shovel. You can get different kinds of shovels. And you really good shovels clear out the mountain really quick. And not so good shovels take forever. Wouldn't it be great if they had like mustard seed faith upgrades? But that's what I imagine, is that we have these hard tasks in front of us, but that mustard seed of faith, that is the ultimate to get the mountain to move. Just that little bit. But what does that mean to have a little bit of faith? There's an African proverb that says, if you wish to move mountains tomorrow, you start by lifting stones today. That little mustard seed of faith, more often than not, is just having enough faith to do something, to pick up a stone and move it. That's it, just a little bit, enough to step out and do something to move that mountain. And it might take a while, and it might be hard. But just that little bit of faith, God can work through that to do amazing things. Now, James identifies a number of figurative mountains, because I suspect while Jesus talks about moving mountains, he wasn't probably talking about literal mountains. But we have a number of figurative mountains, hard things in this world that we work to move bit by bit. And James chapter 2 talks about that in verse 16 through 17. It says, if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. We move the mountain of problems in our world one meal at a time, one warm coat at a time, one house at a time, one person at a time. We tackle the brokenness of our world. We move the mountains to make way for Jesus Christ to be at work in the world around us. And we do that with just a little bit of faith. The faith that God can do something with that, that God will transform and deliver in the end. Just a little mustard seed. And we can move mountains when we are following where God calls us. There is a very old Nintendo NES game. First, I gotta know, do any of you all still have, or did you ever have a Nintendo, an original Nintendo? All right, yes, nice. So you'll be excited to know that we still have an original Nintendo in our house that we will periodically pull out, and the kids are like amazed. They think it's hilarious because the graphics are so terrible and the controller is all clunky. In fact, they say it's harder than the regular games today. But there is a game we have called Spiritual Warfare. So I'll show you. In Spiritual Warfare, you're this guy who wanders around different places, and you throw fruit at people. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. You hurl it at criminals, and those criminals are instantly converted. You see, they start praying, and then they go up into heaven as a saint, I guess. And then you collect Holy Spirit points, which add up to give you power. And then periodically, it'll ask you questions from the Bible, and then you get extra Holy Spirit points if you get them right. I hate to break it to you, but when God calls us to do something, it's usually not hurling fruit at people. But what that means is when we are following where God leads, actually more often than not, people throw fruit at us. It's not easy. It's not easy moving those mountains. And as Jesus tells us in many places, very often we are the ones who become targets. We are the ones who have the hurled fruit given our way. And yet, if we have enough faith to persevere, to keep moving stone by stone, we have this promise that God will deliver, God will save, and transform not only our world, but us as a result. There was a nun who was driving. She worked for this home healthcare agency. So she was driving to one of her visits, and she ran out of gas. She must have just gotten distracted and not noticed. And so luckily, she was near a gas station. So she went to that gas station and was hoping that she could borrow like a can of gas just to get her to the gas station. Y'all ever run out of gas before? Right? So they have those cans. But this was kind of in the middle of nowhere. And so they had just lent out their can of gas. Tough day for people running out of gas. And so the attendant said, if you wait around, I'm sure they'll be back, and then you could borrow the can and use it to get some gas. Well, the nun was like, she was really worried about her visit. She didn't want to wait around. And so she went back to her car. She gave it some thought and some prayer and looked through all of her medical stuff and found something she thought would work. Went and filled it up, came back to her car. And what she had found was a bedpan. And so here she is filling up her car when the person who had borrowed the gas can was returning to the gas station with his gas can, and he saw her and was amazed. So he tells the gas station attendant, "You will not believe what I just saw." And then recounted the nun filling up her car with the bedpan, and he said, "Now that is what I call faith." A little better. I'm not going to explain it to you. What do our lives say about our faith? How do our actions convey our faith in God? Can someone tell that we are Christians by the ways we sacrificially love one another? That's the question that James asks in James chapter 2. It's not an easy question to consider, but the good news for every single one of us is no matter where you find yourself, and we, in our journey through faith, might find ourselves in all different places on those levels as we dig in deeper. But no matter where we find ourselves, God gives us a cheat book. In video games, you know, they make these cheat books that tell you where to go and what to do. We're working through The Legend of Zelda right now, and we just look it up on Google, and it tells us what to do and where to go. In order to level up in our faith, to dig in deeper, we don't have to guess. God tells us. Part of that is stepping out, taking that leap of faith, serving and following God, and then somewhere in that, God transforms our very lives, our very hearts, so we become different in that process. For all of us, that is the good news. And I wanted to say that for any here who have never been baptized, that I think is our equivalent of the leap off the tall building It's way better, though, than we're not going to make you leap off the building. But through baptism, that water brings us into that new family. We are renamed as children of God. We are adopted into this family. And that Holy Spirit enters in so that we can begin that journey of deepening our faith bit by bit. And so if you've never been baptized, I would encourage you to talk to me about it. I would love to talk to you about that. We have a God who grants us grace time and time again. And so may we all sacrifice, love, and do something to act and deepen our faith, one bedpan at a time. Let us pray. Most amazing God, I thank you for your patience. I thank you that for every single one of us, that you have made this promise of your Spirit, your grace, your love. Thank you for the ways that you don't give up on us, that you empower every single step we take. We acknowledge, God, that nothing we do, nothing good within us is actually us. Every good and beautiful thing about us is you at work within us. And so I pray, God, for your power to be at work within each and every one of us, that you would seep into the crevices of our hearts, that you would drive out the darkness, and that we might so deepen our faith that we don't just want to do what, or that we don't just think we should do what is right, that we want to do it, so that we have this desire truly, heart and soul, to follow you. We pray, God, that all might see your love reflected in our lives. We put all this before you. In your name we pray. Amen.